Hi, this is Kalina.
And this is Gabe.
Welcome to
Bigger Than Love. All right, we're rolling.
Hi, Gabe.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How was your week?
It got done. Yourself?
It got done.
Week done, been had.
Do you have anything to report to our listeners? Anything cool this week?
Well, as we speak, we're making some chicken.
That's true. We're having chicken larange.
Chicken la range.
Not French, so.
French.
Yeah.
You're more ranch than French.
That's true. I am more ranch than French. I guess we'll just hop right into the podcast today. So I want to start with a question for you, Gabe. What's one expectation you had about yoga that turned out to be completely wrong?
That the goal was to do scorpion.
So flexibility or like strength?
Yeah, the ultimate goal is to have some wild pose that you could do.
So imagine this, like you roll out your yoga mat thinking this class is going to be calm and chill and meditative, but the playlist is all Slipknot remixes. What would happen inside of you?
I think I'd be kind of confused. Like instead of chicken a la orange, if it was chicken a la grape, like I would wonder if these things really went together.
I think that we all do that. We all step onto our mat with a picture in our head. Maybe today we'll feel calm, or maybe we'll finally nail that scorpion pose, or at least float out lighter than you walked in. But the truth is our practice and our lives really rarely match the script that we've written. Expectations sneak in everywhere. And how we want our bodies to feel and how we think relationships should unfold, even in what we imagine yoga itself is supposed to give us. So in this episode today, we're going to be talking about what yoga has to say about expectations, how they shape us, how they might trip us up sometimes, and what it feels like to practice loosening the grip a little bit. And the truth is, if you haven't already figured it out yet, I know for me at the tender age of 42, I'm still figuring it out. Expectations are sneaky. They show up on the mat. They show up in our relationships when we quietly script how someone else might respond. They even show up in spirituality when we expect ourselves to be endlessly calm or grateful or enlightened all the time. And in yoga philosophy, these invisible scripts are part of what keep us stuck. So how can practice soften the grip of should so we can meet life as it is or as it's currently unfolding? How's that sound, Gabe?
Sounds like a plan.
So what are expectations? When you hear the word expectation, Gabe, what do you think? What comes up for you?
Well, being the nerd that I am, the first thing I think of is Keith Jarrett, jazz piano album from the 70s titled Expectations.
Okay, what kind of music is it?
It's jazz, but there's sort of like a folk element to it. It's instrumental, but it's not jazz in the traditional sense. Early 70s, Charlie Hayden, Paul Motion, Dewey Redman. It's like a lot of percussion, and it's a beautiful record. Actually, one of my favorite songs kind of reminds me of you. It's called The Magician in You.
You're sweet. Expectations at their core are basically our mind's predictions about how things should unfold. Psychologically, they're attachments to outcomes is another way to look at it. An inner contract that we often write kind of without realizing. If I do this, then that will happen is an example. So in everyday life, it might sound like I expected dinner to be ready, or on the mat, it might be I expected my downward dog to feel effortless today. When reality doesn't line up, we feel kind of friction, sometimes as irritation or anger, and sometimes disappointment, a general feeling of not being content when things don't go our way. And expectations aren't just mental, they live in the body too. The nervous system tends to brace when things don't go as planned. I know for me, whenever things aren't going as planned or scripted, if you will, I can feel my shoulders kind of creep up towards my ears, or my breath gets a little shallow, and I am a jaw clencher. I hold my back teeth together, and the body carries the weight of our unmet shoulds often before the mind even names them. Have you ever had someone ask you what's wrong and you're like, I actually don't know. Actually, it's a feeling. I don't have words for it right now.
Usually tied to lack of beef jerky.
Lack of beef jerky?
Just protein.
Oh.
Usually I'm like, let me eat this hard-boiled egg and then circle back.
Or salmon jerky. That's your thing currently.
Or generally like a coffee.
Coffee makes all expectations melt away.
Or just being like, I don't know why I'm not okay. And it's like, you know, at least when you have coffee, you're like, I'm awake. Now I can figure out why. And usually it's like, I was sleepy.
Well, I mean, expectations can sneak into everything. We expect traffic to be lighter. Another example might be dinner to be ready or a pose to feel easy because it was easy yesterday. We might expect our partner to know what we need without asking or our boss to notice the extra effort that we put in at work. And sometimes it's smaller things. Like you were just saying, we expect our coffee to come out hotter than lukewarm or Spotify shuffle to magically read our mood. We expect our friend to text right back, our body to heal faster, or meditation to fix us. Even simply in our flow practices, we'll feel we go to class, we should leave feeling lighter or happier. And we might even not realize that until we leave and maybe something came up and we felt sad in class or upset, or maybe we feel frustrated because something didn't turn out the way we thought in our own practice. I mean, this was a big one for me. I remember when kale chips first came out. Do you remember like when kale chips used to be, I don't know, are they still the rage right now? Like, are they really popular still?
I feel like they had their day.
They had their day, right? But when they first came out, I was expecting kale chips to taste like chips. They should taste like chips, and they don't. Spoiler alert, I don't know if you know, they don't.
They meet the textbook definition of a chip.
Which is what? They crisp?
A crunchy, cylindrical object.
Is that really the textbook definition of what classifies as a chip?
Yeah, chip.
Chip.
Something that breaks off from a larger piece.
Okay, we're getting really technical. I don't know. I'm talking about the food. I think chips should be salty.
Yeah.
Tasty. My expectation is that I'm going to want more than one of them. I'm not going to want to spit it out. You know, those kinds of things.
So basically the name of this episode is Chipspectation.
Chipspectation?
Releasing Chipspectation and the dips you may or may not have in your life.
I have a lot of food expectations. It's not just kale chips either. It's also, do you remember when they came out with 100 calorie packs?
Yeah, and you'd open it up, it'd be like one lay. Yes.
At that rate, you might as well just have the regular thing. I think there's a lot of expectations. I mean, in the yoga world too, I remember during COVID, I had a lot of expectations. With Zoom, for instance, I would just be like, okay, class should just be great. There'll be no Wi-Fi problems. Everyone should be able to hear me. The big one during COVID, for those of you who had pets, was that I just expected the dogs to be on their best behavior, like during like a Zoom class. Mm-hmm. And then they'd be like licking my face while I'm trying to do a chaturanga or barking or making a scene in the back. I think we have one Zoom class on our YouTube where it's a string bath and like I'm like doing restorative yoga and you're playing. And I think that Juice is like doing something crazy in the background, rolling around.
There was a lot of shenanigans that went down.
Or even now, sometimes I'll have an expectation every once in a while. A while in class, especially when you're playing music live, that you're gonna keep it ambient or chill, and then all of a sudden you'll do some crazy thing and it'll be like really loud and I like will look at you like, what was that?
Yeah, that's not ideal. But hey, release those expectations.
Totally. I mean, it's very rare that that happens. I mean, there have been a few times where you're like playing ambient music and all of a sudden you'll hit like a really deep bass note and I'm like, where did that come from? Maybe I'm the only one that notices. Underneath all of these examples lives the same pattern, this quiet script of how life should be and the tension we feel when reality doesn't match the script. And I'm curious, Gabe, if you have some examples of expectations that you have currently in your life.
I mean, it sounds trite, but I expect the sun to rise.
I think we all do, right? We expect to wake up. I have expectations. Our listeners who know me probably won't be surprised to hear any of these, but when I come home, I expect there to be lunch because you make me all kinds of delicious snacks. And then on days where maybe that doesn't happen because you're working or you're out of the house and you're not working from home and I have to come home, I'll be like, where's my snack? And I've caught myself, or man, the last time you were out of town, I was like, having an expectation and it not being met can be a path towards gratitude because you're like, oh, wow, like I didn't realize how many unspoken expectations that maybe I had. Some more nuanced ones are when I go to bed, I don't ever worry about the dogs or the lights or the house being locked or any of the nighttime rituals that need to be done for safety protocol stuff because I just expect that you'll do them all. These are expectations that I have that I don't realize I have until you're gone, out of town. And I'm like, oh, wow, there's a lot of chores to do at night, especially on trash night. There's trash that has to be taken out to the curb. And it really makes me appreciate you. So how can we take this a little further? How yoga views expectations? In previous episodes, and I'm sure in upcoming episodes, we'll continue to talk about yogic philosophy and how we can weave it into our everyday life. But in the Yoga Sutras, expectations live kind of under the umbrella of the kleshas. These are the obstacles that cloud our perception of reality. And two of the most obvious ones are attachment and aversion. We cling to what we hope will happen and push away what we fear might happen. We hold on or we cling to what we hope will happen and push away what we fear might happen. And most of our expectations are born in that tension. This is how it should be. This is what I don't want. The practice of non-grasping or non-clinging points us in another direction. Instead of gripping tightly to what we think we deserve or the outcomes we want, yoga asks us to open our hands, to soften the grip a little bit, not because desire is necessarily wrong, but because gripping creates suffering when reality doesn't match the script. We also see this a lot in Buddhist philosophy. It definitely echoes this, that suffering arises from craving and attachment, essentially from expecting the world to conform to our wants. Both traditions remind us that freedom isn't about controlling outcomes, but about loosening our control on them or our sense of control over things. There's also this body-based angle too, that expectation isn't just an idea. It lives in our nervous system. Like I said earlier, we hold our breath when waiting for things to go our way. We grip our jaw and our fists and our shoulders when they don't. And the body becomes a map of our shoulds. It's just a whole map of shoulds. And yoga practice gives us a way to notice that map. Where am I holding on? Every single time we step on our yoga mat, it can soften the edges a little bit of that map and discover presence in a place of tension. And of course, I'm going to say awesome things about yoga because this is something I feel very strongly about. But man, how powerful to be able to show up and witness. What a luxury to be able to have a space, a body, and awareness to be able to even look at, what are my shoulds? What are my expectations? Am I holding this in my body? What am I holding on to? What does that map look like? And don't want to keep going that direction. I think a lot about, why do we have expectations? I'll ask myself, why do I have this expectation of this person, place, or thing? Where does that come from? And on one level, expectations are totally natural. And the brain is wired to predict. It's actually doing its job, right? Like all the time, it's trying to predict. It's part of survival. We need that. How would we survive if we didn't have that brain capacity to be wired to kind of see things three-dimensionally? If you expect the ground to be solid, you walk safely, right? And if you expect the stove to be hot, you don't burn yourself twice, right? This predictive ability really helps us learn, helps us prepare, and makes the world make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing about the brain. But those same protective mechanisms often spill into places where they don't serve us. We start expecting not just safety, but comfort, not just stability, but control. We expect people to behave the way we would. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Like, well, I would never do that. Well, we're not each other, right? Or we expect our bodies to perform on cue, or life to unfold according to our timeline, mm-hmm. or a timeline that we've accepted as ours. In this yoga philosophy, this ties back to that mind's coloring, right? That misperception. We confuse what is likely with what is owed to us. Our nervous system then braces around those imagined outcomes. And that's why unmet expectations feel so sharp. Part of us is convinced that reality has betrayed us. Mm-hmm. And when really it was just following its own path, mm-hmm. right? What's the phrase that your mom says all the time?
Man plans, God laughs.
Yeah. In a way, expectations are both a feature and a bug. They keep us safe and oriented, but they also keep us clinging to a script that may never play out. And the practice is noticing when prediction turns into attachment. So I was thinking about this in relation to expectations and creativity, since you are the creative one. music itself is built on expectation, right? Like a chord that needs to be changed because it sounds more musical or something, or a beat that needs to be there, but then the person that's delivering it to you or asking you to play on it also has an expectation, and those most definitely must conflict sometimes. What the music is actually calling for versus what the person or the artist might actually be asking you to do.
You're talking about interpersonal expectations. Is a huge element of my work and being predictive, especially working remotely, being predictive of what the client is wanting to hear.
Even if it's different than what the music is asking?
Yeah, usually I'll start with what I call like balsamic production, which is where I'll listen to something, you know, once or twice and be like, okay, like what is the music telling me to play? And I've taken to now, especially like if their expectations aren't met and I'm feeling very confident in what I sent, very lovingly and very openly, I will argue my position.
When you're listening to music, and I think of this also with dance, when I used to be a dancer and choreographer, it was one of my favorite things to do and also witness being a spectator of the art, is that element when it's a piece of music or a piece of art is going in this direction and you think you know where it's going, and then all of a sudden it makes this complete pivot, but it's in a most beautiful way, in a very unexpected way. Do you like that kind of music? Like, I know, like, for instance, I've heard you singing along to music that you've never heard and you're able to guess what they're going to say next, especially with country music, for instance. I know you don't know the song, but like you're able to like sing along even though you don't know, like you know what's going to come next. And to me, that is evidence that it's pretty, you know, the expectation of it being predictable is there. Or do you like when music?
Well, both.
Surprises you.
I like it all. I mean, country music is a narrative-driven music. It's very much like a storytelling. Who sings Digging Up Bones?
Randy Travis.
I'm digging up bones. And then the background, digging up bones. Exhuming things that are better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. What is that? I'm just sitting alone digging up bones. Mm-hmm. It hits
it's
all.
So good.
Well, it just hits all the. It's like Thai food. You know, it hits every corner of your tongue, in your ear and your brain, musically speaking, right?
This shows up a lot for me too as a teacher, because students come to class with expectation too. They have an expectation of what hot yoga is or what vinyasa is or what Pilates is. And one of my favorite things to do is to prove people's expectations wrong, in the sense that to be creative in a way as a yoga teacher, because so many people now, especially with the rise in popularity of yoga classes, it's more popular than it's ever been in my lifetime. There is more expectation, right? And I think that one of the things, anybody listening as a teacher and you're like, oh, I want to try new stuff, I want to be more creative, I want to push the boundaries of what I'm offering my students, but they have an expectation, right? They have an expectation. For example, in some classes, students come with the expectation for the class to be hard. That's the biggest one. I think a lot of times students want the class to be hard. They want to walk away feeling defeated to some degree, you know? Like, we love punishment. And as a therapeutic practitioner, as a teacher who loves to bring different types of practices and different ways to view the body and to use the body as medicine, one of my favorite things to do is to turn everything upside down to make the class unpredictable. But what I have found, and I don't know if it's the same in music, but what I have found is that people can only take a certain percentage of unpredictability. So I have my own method, if you will, of how I balance out making people feel comfortable, because there's a level and there's a certain amount of things I'm going to do in class that everyone knows, mm-hmm. with a certain amount of surprise, and to get people out of that expectation.
Sure.
And to also teach something. Because if you're really teaching something and you're trying to allow for your students to grow and learn, and as a teacher you're trying to grow and learn, then every class can't be the same. There's a certain amount of repetition that needs to happen, and then there's a certain amount of new. So I try to keep 30% of my class fresh every single time, and just enough to where people are having a good time. But that's just my two cents.
I think that's a good balance. I mean, if we were going to lay that ontology in this conversation onto like music, there's 12 notes and infinite permutations of how they could be put together, and infinite amount of rhythms and infinite amount of tonalities on every instrument imaginable. But that still doesn't change the metadata, which is just like there's 12 notes. Mm-hmm. Similar to like a class, let's say for the sake of this conversation, a class is 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what is going to happen within those 60 minutes, it's still going to be 60 minutes long.
I think the expectation, or what I would say about that, and it's something that I try to give my students, especially those who train with me, is that once you learn foundations, and like once you really, really understand foundation of teaching and also of yoga, and then you really, really get into anatomy and you understand how the body works, it kind of opens up a lot. Right. Mm-hmm. But without that, it's really hard. Like, because I think an expectation from students who are coming to take a community class is that at very minimum that you know what you're doing. If they feel held and seen and they feel like they're with somebody who knows what they're doing, then you can flip the script a little bit more. It's mm-hmm. harder to mm-hmm. do that if students don't feel that. So I mean, that could be like a whole other podcast episode that we could do. I think what we're talking about with all of this is like how creativity can also hold its own expectations. How do expectations shape us? I said this earlier, but I think of expectations kind of like invisible scripts that we carry around, quiet instructions for how life should unfold. And most of the time, we don't even realize we're holding them until something doesn't go according to plan. And sometimes those scripts can help. They set standards and fuel growth. Like, I expect myself to try again, for instance, might be one of your own personal mantras, or I expect to keep showing up on the mat.
I love that declaration you just made. I expect myself to try again.
Mm-hmm.
It's so powerful. That's a very powerful affirmation.
I think language really matters, because with language like I expect myself to try again, this can give you direction and motivation. But often expectations become traps, like I expected to be able to hold a handstand by now, or I expected this class to leave me feeling calm, for instance. When reality doesn't really match, we feel like we failed. Like the moment failed us, the world is against us. And in relationships too, unmet expectations are one of the most common sources of conflict. And we script how someone else should respond or what they should know without us saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And even what they might say, playing a conversation in your head before you've had the conversation with someone else. And when they don't follow our invisible script, this is where disappointment comes in.
Sure.
And resentment creeps in. And even if we never spoke the lines out loud, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I have had a full-blown conversation in my head and I've gotten so upset and I never even had the conversation. Just my own brain has gotten me so upset, me playing a back and forth. It's an imaginary scene. And again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but that's why I love this practice so much of yoga, and because it invites us to notice those hidden contracts that we carry, that we all carry. None of us are immune to it, and where they push us forward and where they hold us back. To ask whether we're clinging to the script or meeting what's actually here. And in fact, something that I recently, in the past 5 years, is, okay, you have a contract, you have an unspoken contract, but what's your unspoken contract with yourself? Are you holding yourself just as accountable as you're holding the world, just as accountable as you're holding someone else? Or do you just have these unrealistic expectations for everyone except yourself? If we take relationships, for example, that I like might expect you, Gabe, to know when I say I'm fine, what I really mean is I need a diet Dr. Pepper immediately. But if you don't pick up on that invisible script, I might get disappointed. By now, you know my unspoken script.
It's always Dr. Pepper.
You always know, but I use it.
Well, we have a mini fridge.
Yeah, we
stocked with drink. So
this is true.
You're not going to run out, irrespective of your expectation.
What I'm saying is we all have them. We all have these expectations where we write a play in our head, and then when we get upset when the other person hasn't read the script. And in fact, you never gave the other person the script. And I like to think of expectations are like little weather forecasts.
Mm.
They give us a sense of what might happen, but half the time the sky changes.
Mm.
So if you've ever gotten upset about the weather, like it was supposed to rain today and then it doesn't rain, or it was supposed to be sunshine today and then it snows.
Yeah.
I mean, expectations are kind of like that too. And I think that that's where yoga really meets life, not in controlling the outcome, but in meeting what actually shows up, like what's actually happening in front of you. And there's this beautiful practice layer. On the mat, we can begin to notice where expectations sneak in. Maybe you expect your body to feel the same as it did yesterday or last week, or for a pose to come really easily. And instead of fighting that, you can invite yourself to see and meet the moment as it actually is, without grading yourself against yesterday or grading yourself against the person next to you.
Mm-hmm.
for instance. And off the mat, you could experiment with swapping expectations for intentions, which is basically what I was getting at a second ago. I expect myself to try again, or my intention is to try again, versus I expect something to be this way. And an expectation might sound like, to stay on the yoga tip, I'll nail this pose, or I'll feel peaceful after class, when an intention is a little gentler. It's, I'll show up curious. I'll breathe through whatever comes. I'm about to get curious with myself is a great one that I like. Intentions keep us open to surprise, while expectations keep us locked into a single outcome. A single outcome. And students will often ask, oh, how do I set an intention? What is an intention? I think this is a good thing to point out. You know, like, an intention can just simply be, I'm open. I'm open. I'm curious. I'm going to lean in. I could make it even simpler, like a mini practice. Wherever you are, let's do it right now. Gabe, you can be my student.
Okay.
All right. So take one slow breath, and on the inhale, say silently to yourself, let go. And on the exhale, say to yourself, be here. One breath is enough to soften the grip of expectation and land back in presence. A while back, I was just kind of thinking about life and some expectations I was having at the time for myself and my own personal growth. And I remember asking myself, can softening expectations make life better? How does softening make life better? And remembering through my own yogic study and my own practice that 100% yes. And not because we stop caring, but because we stop gripping. Expectations are like really tight fist, and they close us off to unexpected ways life might actually support us. When we soften them, we create more space for surprise and delight and connection. And I know in my personal life, in those moments, you know, obviously hindsight is 20/20, but when I think about the times where I really softened my expectation and I just softened my grip, some of the best things in my life unfolded. And meeting you was one of those. I was in an era of softening, of not having an expectation when you came into my world. And if you think about it, when you expect a yoga class or really anything to fix your mood, you might miss all the little gifts it's offering. Simply being reminded that you're breathing. When you expect your partner to respond exactly the way you pictured, or your friend to respond exactly the way you pictured, you might miss the beauty of how they're actually showing up.
Totally.
And I think softening expectations doesn't mean lowering your standards or giving up on your goals. It really means holding them lightly, open palms instead of clenched fists. And that lightness makes us more resilient when life changes course, because it most definitely is going to. And this isn't an episode about change, but like, I think anybody who's breathing right now, if they really are honest, would say like, change is definitely going to happen. You know, you're going to be surprised. I think this softness, or this lightness, this resilience creates a space for us to be more appreciative of what's really here in front of us. And that way, yeah, softening expectations can make life way better. And it shifts us from disappointment to discovery, from why isn't this what I wanted to what is this moment giving me? What is this moment giving me? What's available right now? The analogy that's coming to my mind when I think of that map, the body, is like, there, our expectations are like little GPS directions. You think you know the route, like you think you know, but sometimes the detour ends up being the best part of the trip. And if you've ever been, Gabe and I go on a lot of trips, like some of the best detours end up being the funnest memories. And actually, we just had one of those this week. We took a detour on our way home, and then I decided in the moment that I wanted sushi. So we changed the GPS and we passed an estate sale. And do you want to tell your listeners what you accidentally found that you can't stop talking about?
Inner peace.
Inner peace.
Found inner peace. So we went to this estate sale, and the fella who was in there kind of reminded me of an old version of me from Mexico City, and he was mad cool. And amongst all these instruments that he had and all kinds of studio stuff, he had a 1936 Rickenbacker Spanish electro tenor guitar with the Vibrola system and a matching amp and stand and case. And this instrument actually is the first solid body electric guitar. It's a tenor guitar, so it has four strings, which is perfect for me because I like things tuned in fifths. for the nerds out there, like cello. Anyway, this instrument is absolutely wild. It totally belongs in a museum.
So basically what you're saying is that you could do a whole podcast about your new instrument.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm over the moon.
All that to say, everyone, our expectation was sushi. Our reality was another instrument.
Exactly.
So what can we do to soften our expectation? And I think this is really good news. Like, I thought of a few ways that we can actually start practicing today. So the first one is just name them. Half the time we're frustrated because we have an unspoken script that didn't play out. Just pausing to notice, oh, I expected this to go differently, is the first shift we can make. Then we can trade expectation for intention, like I mentioned earlier. Instead of, I expect this class to fix my stress, you could try, I intend to breathe more fully, remembering that intention keeps us open while expectation locks us in. And you could also practice micro letting go, tiny micro letting go on the mat, just noticing when you want a pose to feel easier. Off the mat, you could notice when you want your partner, your friend, or your coworker to respond in a certain way. Take one extra breath, inhale, let go, exhale, be here, like Gabe and I did a second ago. Or my personal favorite, you can bring in some humor. Laugh when life doesn't follow your plan. It is actual medicine for the nervous system. And Gabe and I've had many moments when things are burning around us and there's only thing to do is laugh. There's just sometimes nothing to do during a crash other than just giggle.
Speaking of things burning, and they smell the chicken.
Oh no. Use the relationships in your life now to practice. Like, instead of assuming someone should know, ask. Instead of silently scripting, share your needs out loud. You're not really going to know until you share. So remembering that yoga doesn't ask us to erase our expectations, it just asks us to hold them a little lightly. And that shift alone can change the texture of how we move through our daily life. And at the end of the day, humans are not Amazon Prime. We don't deliver on two-day shipping. We don't always arrive exactly when expected. And we certainly don't come with free returns. So when we soften our expectations of ourselves, of others, even our yoga practice, we make more space for presence, for surprise, and for actually enjoying the messy beauty of being human. So maybe the invitation is this: notice where expectations are riding the script and see what happens when you loosen your grip a little bit. When we hold life with open palms instead of clenched fists, we discover that unexpected is often where the real beauty lives. I hope that we can all practice a little softening this week in little and big ways. I know that's going to be at the top of my intention list this week. And yeah, we should probably tend to the chicken because we're expecting to have chicken tonight. Yeah?
Chicken a la grape.
Thank you so much for listening. Your continued support means the world to us, and we hope that we are delivering on some nice topics. And feel free to reach out, contact us through email or through our social media. And again, if there's anything that you want to hear us chat about or share, we're very open to suggestions. Have an amazing week, everybody. And yeah, Gabe, you got anything?
That's it.
All right.
Three peace.